AgriTalk is sponsored by Coron Metro. When the time is right for nutrition, give your crops more than just nitrogen with Coron Metro, the next evolution in foliar fertilizers. And by Simplot Grower Solutions, a partner you can grow with. Learn more at SimplotGrowerSolutions.com. December corn futures tested support at the bottom of Monday's upside price gap, and it held. The showers in the northern plains are breaking up, moving off to the north, and there are scattered rains in the southeastern corn belt, but corn still found a way to not close lower.
Live from the very summit of Hump Roast Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Jared Creed from JC Marketing. Right after the news, Todd Bubba Horowitz from BubbaTrading.com. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Lorre.
All right, Davis, thank you so much. Yeah, man, happy pork week, everybody. Glad that you could join us on this Wednesday afternoon edition of AgriTalk. I'm Chip, that's Davis.
Hello.
And this is AgriTalk. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We are going to get into conversations with Jared Creed, JC Marketing, always get me thinking to the point that it'll be, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock tonight, and I'll be thinking about some strategy or risk management thought that he had during the show, and I'll have to text him and say, you know what, let's flesh this out a little bit more, stuff like that.
Well, that's one
always
of the risks.
Leaves me thinking.
One of the risks of the at-home work environment,
yeah.
I would say. You know, you can't, because normally you would say, all right, leave it at the office, punch out and go home. Ah, no.
Yeah.
Those days are gone, bro.
Yeah, yeah, that's
you know?
Right.
Where are you going to put it? Where are you
exactly
going to put
right.
it?
That's right.
Shelf in
hey,
the garage,
before we
maybe.
Talk about the morning show briefly here, just want to remind everyone that AgriTalk is brought to you by the Pork Checkoff, celebrating pork, and the people who bring it to your table through real pork. More details are available at porkcheckoff.org. We had a great conversation this morning on the Farmer Forum, dude.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. A porkalicious conversation.
Yeah.
Lots to it.
Mm-hmm. Jen Sorensen, president of the NPPC. Terry Walters, president-elect of the NPPC.
Incoming president. Yep.
Incoming president. Yeah, we talked technology also with Dr. Brandy Burton. But we talked technology with Jen and Terry. We talked policy and the threat that we are looking at with a potential slowdown on the speed on the processing lines. Mm-hmm. So we talked about that. We talked about developing the export markets and Prop 12. So plenty to go back and listen to if you are a hog producer. Go back and listen to that morning show. And we'll talk about what's going on in this hog market at the end of the show today. All right, man, let's get to it. What you got in the news?
Well, Chip, wheat traders continued to factor in recent rain in spring wheat country, but also spent time evening positions ahead of tomorrow's winter wheat production report from USDA. On average, traders are looking for the winter wheat crop to be estimated at about 1.892 billion bushels. That would be up 20 million bushels from last month. Hard red winter production is expected to tally 1.312 billion, up 29 billion from last month. Soft red and white winter wheat crop estimates are expected to be unchanged to down slightly from last month. July hard red winter wheat 3¼ cents higher, 635¾. July soft red slipped 2¾ cents, 682¼. September spring wheat closed at 769¾, down 6¼ cents today.
Yeah, that spring wheat market is probably, it feels like it's getting to the end of some position liquidation. We'll see what the report does for it tomorrow. And, of course, the weather outlook going forward.
Ethanol production in the weekend of June 4 averaged 1.067 million barrels per day, up 33,000 barrels per day from the previous week. Chip, that's the highest production average since the last week of February last year. Ethanol stocks increased 372,000 barrels, but remain manageable at 19.96 million. Gains in production over the past month has some analysts looking for an increase in USDA's corn for ethanol use in tomorrow's S&D report. Traders expect old crop corn carryover of 1.207 billion bushels, down 50 million from last month. New crop corn carryover expected at 1.423 billion bushels, down nearly 85 million bushels from last month. July corn futures 10 and 3 quarters cents higher, 690 and 3 quarters. September corn up 4 cents, 632. December corn closed at 609 and 3 quarters, up 1 quarter of a penny.
That ethanol stocks number, it's manageable at under 20 million barrels, but I even with the big increase in production, that slight increase in stocks, it to me it was unexpected, and it suggests that gasoline demand in over the Memorial Day weekend wasn't everything that they thought it was going to be.
Old and new crop soybean carryover are expected to inch upward from last month, but traders on average see very little movement on the supply or demand side of the balance sheet. Heavy pressure on soybean meal and bean oil futures dragged soybean futures to the downside. Although selling interest was limited in new crop futures, with much of the Western Belt expected to see just scattered relief from dry conditions. Chart watchers say the high range open and mid-range close suggests more consolidative trade into the end of the week. July bean futures 17.5 cents lower, 15.62.5. August beans down 16.5, 15.23. Novi beans closed at 14.48.25, down 8.75.
Yeah, it feels like a weather and a money flow market. We'll talk about that with Jared coming up here in a bit.
December cotton traded to the highest level since February 25th as production uncertainty increases. July up 148 points, 86.62. December cotton up 135, 87.34. Livestock, August live cattle 45 cents higher, 118.27.5. October cattle up a nickel, 123.97.5. August feeders down 97.5 cents to 148.27.5. And on the snout side, July lean hogs 30 cents lower, 121.50. August hogs up 7.5, 118.75. Chip.
All right. Thank you, Davis. Let's bring in Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. How you doing, Bubba?
Buy him. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. You've got to feel a little chopped up by these markets.
You know what? You get more volatility. Remember, we're going into a delivery cycle for July. That always makes it a little bit choppier. But, you know, look, grains look great. I don't care what WASD says tomorrow. I have no interest. I won't even know what it says. I have to email somebody and say, what did it say? But at the end of the day, the price action looks great. And even if they sell them off on it, I'll be buying them. I think we're going significantly higher, as I've said before. I think there's a chance, and I won't predict it, but there's a chance that beans could get out of the teens and not to the downside. So we'll see. You know,
all right.
That's how I see it right now. I think they look pretty damn good.
Oof. That's kind of a big statement there, Bubba. Beans
well,
getting
I
out of the
I'm
teens.
I'm not predicting. I'm saying that there's a chance. You know, look, you're seeing, obviously, we've got massive inflation, which nobody wants to admit to, correct? Okay.
Well, okay.
So, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of money flow that way. I think you're going to get a lot of the outside money into the grains, and we'll see. You know, it's a stretch, but I I'm going to trade them one level at a time, and next week I could be in a different position. But for the most part, I'm hoping, and I think we'll stay along. And I see no reason that that's not going to be the case. You know, they look really solid.
All right, give me 15 seconds on crude oil.
Crude oil is going to Pluto because, of course, we gave up all the rights to it and turned it over to the criminals at Saudi Arabia. So they're going to stick it up our you-know-what, and that's just the way life goes because this administration is a joke. That's my 15 seconds of fame.
Good work, Bubba. We'll talk to you
crude
next week.
To
Thanks,
Pluto.
Man.
I love that.
David,
so poetic.
What's up, baby?
It's so poetic. I love it, baby.
I'll talk to you guys later.
All right. That's Todd Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. We got JC, Jared Creed up next.
For a farmer, every day is different, and every season tells its own story. Make this the year you do it your way. Coron Metra is a foliar fertilizer that lets you decide when the time is right for nutrition. Metra gives you flexibility. It gives your tank efficiency. And Metra gives your crop more than just nitrogen. Coron Metra, the next evolution in crop nutrition. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration before use.
Farming in the 21st century requires data-driven technology and product decisions that are rooted in on-the-ground insights. At Simplot Grower Solutions, we're in your fields and by your side to help you grow yields and profits. Simplot is a pioneer and innovator in plant nutrition and agronomic science. Our local experts offer grounded advice to help you get the most out of every acre. Go to SimplotGrowerSolutions.com to see how we can be a one-stop resource. Simplot Grower Solutions, a partner you can grow with.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bayer Plus Rewards, helping make every part of your season more rewarding.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me, and
true statement.
We are going to get into this conversation with Jared Creed, JC Marketing. How are you, Jared? It's good to talk with you again.
Chip, great to talk to you as well. I'm good. Ready for rain. If I had a penny for every time I heard that in the last couple of days, I'd probably have a couple bucks in my pocket. So.
Yep, no doubt. We got about 12 drops last night. Did you get the same 12?
Not last night, but here in Hudson, we had probably a 60-second rain event that came and went pretty quick.
Yeah. I mean,
but it's nice to see it actually can rain. How about that?
Well, you know, I would like to say that, but the rain that we had yesterday afternoon, evening, to me doesn't even qualify because it didn't even get the didn't even get the cement wet.
Yep,
just
I hear you.
Spotted it up. Crazy. This is an issue, isn't it, Jared? I mean, it's something that it's just adding to the uncertainty as we get into the season.
Well, it's adding to the uncertainty, but there's one certain thing about it. It's not our first time we've been in a weather market. It's not the first time we've had above average temperatures in June. Maybe you could say it's a rarity to see the areas of perhaps Minnesota, Iowa, you know, parts of South Dakota, North Dakota from a corn and soybean production standpoint to all be as dry as they are at this moment. But again, it's not our first weather rodeo.
Right.
And quite frankly, it seems like the last week as this weather has started to get more attention since our big sell-off in the grains here a couple weeks ago, it's like the first time we've actually had any fundamental information coming into our market of the what-if fear that the crops are shorter than ideal from a production mm-hmm. standpoint. It just seems like we've been on a roller coaster of outside money flow. You got a record long position in the agriculture space from the index funds. If you want to be a little nervous, just go look at a historical chart on that. A, how many times are the index funds ever long agriculture, let alone when they are long, they're hardly ever in that position for an extended period of time. So there you go. Kind of what Bubba was talking about. You got this inflation environment. I don't even know if it's fair to say inflation environment, but it's continuing to draw money into the commodity space. And finally, we've added in some fundamental concerns, potential concerns from a crop production standpoint. But it's always that what if fear that creates the most opportunity. There's been how many years in your career has there ever really ended up being a weather event in June, July that created a higher price environment than we're in right now? Once, twice,
once.
It just doesn't happen. So it can still happen. Don't get me wrong, but it's not our first weather scare.
Yeah. So based on the, okay, we've been here before. Let's not act like we haven't. What do you anticipate on a timeline for this thing?
Well, it's a good word that you chose there, timeline. That's what I've been speaking with about a lot of clients here. It's like we're trying to get to a finish line here. And in my opinion, that finish line isn't until we get the crop into the bin. That finish line, more realistically, is probably sometime out in the middle of July to the first couple weeks of August, depending on where a producer is located. And why I say that is, you know, at that point, we should have a representable idea of what our crop potential is, especially in corn. I get it. The finish is key from there forward, but beans a little bit more questionable, but you're going to see a couple week forecast. You're going to know what your moisture profile is. You're going to have a good sense of what my crop can do from this date forward. And then I hope, you know, I was given presentations in Kansas last week, and just as a simple little icebreaker, I said, well, what are you going to do if you raise an average crop and corn is still $6 and beans are 14 to 15? If your answer is I'm going to store it and do nothing with it, well, good luck to you. Right. At that point, you're talking about record profits, right? That's the stage that we're on right now. I don't have a single client that would not have a record profit on their farm if prices are steady today, coupled with a average yield. Don't have to be above average, but an average yield. It's a huge opportunity on the table. So we're trying to get to that finish line. You got a lot of information coming at you until that time frame. You got three WASDs, you know, obviously tomorrow's, July's. July is going to use the new acres that we're going to get on a report with the stocks at the end of this month. Yep. And then you're going to get out to August, which should be the first yield changes that we would happen to see from the USDA. I don't think we see any changes up until then.
Right, right. You know, that end of July, first part of August, I think I understand why you're pinpointing that, because at by that time, we're going to know if there's a problem or not. We may not know the severity of the issue, but the tight stocks that we are dealing with is going to mean that the market's going to have to respond to a real problem and not wait for confirmation later.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And obviously the fear of the what if between now and then can create plenty of volatility. But I think that timeline, what I left out there, that's the farmer's biggest price risk, most likely. The next 60 to 75 days, how do you maintain a similar price level that we're at right now with overextending yourself and ultimately missing out on what I was talking about of a record profitable opportunity? And I think there's a lot of different pieces that they have to their advantage, one of them being crop insurance, to really hone in on what their opportunity is. You know, on crop insurance, first and foremost, and I mean this passionately, crop insurance is not a disaster tool anymore. And once in a while, my good buddies, I'm going to call them out right now, Nick Ehlers, you know, the old phrase of, well, farming's awfully easy when your plow is a pencil or whatever that old saying is. Well, guess what? When that saying was put on paper, we didn't have an option market. We didn't have revenue protection insurance policies. Crop insurance guarantees you bushels. First and foremost, the end. The farmer being guaranteed those bushels has basically spent money to be guaranteed them and has seen the price rise by $3 plus a bushel in beans and $1.50 a bushel in corn. The guaranteed bushels that the farmer has now, if they got completely wiped out, Chip, you're the farmer, you tell me, I got wiped out. It's June 9th, I'm going to have zero bushels. And I ask you, well, what's your price risk? Most times it's going to be, well, I don't have any price risk now. That's 100% incorrect. The price risk for the farmer now is the difference from today's prices to the spring price comparative to what it will be out in the October averaging period. If we fast forward 4 or 5 months, and the market happens to be lower and you still raise nothing, you're going to get a smaller insurance check than you would if the prices are at today's levels. Hence, you just got to identify that revenue management strategy that you use to keep yourself in the game on a guaranteed bushel standpoint. And then obviously when you get to that finish line, hopefully there's more than a guaranteed bushel coming to you.
You know, What you just described right there, Jared, is one of the reasons. It's not the only reason, but it's one of the reasons that I have gotten away from talking about selling strategies. It's all about, you know, phrasing it correctly. It's why I only call it risk management anymore. One of the reasons why I only call it risk management, because it's not just about a selling strategy. It's not just about managing that physical grain. It is about managing each and every potential revenue source and the risk associated with it. That's what you're describing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And the beauty of it today, Chip, is you can't rule it out that from a guaranteed yield perspective, the prices attainable today, just the simple math, I'm not suggesting this, but if a producer went to be 100% short the board on every bushel they're guaranteed, ooh, most farms would still probably generate more revenue than they have in the last 3 to 4 years from just a crop marketing perspective. That's how powerful that is at this point. Yep. And I, you know, think about that. How many farms go out and spend anywhere from $15 to $50 an acre on some random tool to sit on a farm and not use it? Everything has a purpose. Well, if I'm spending that money on crop insurance and I don't market anything, then why the hell is the U.S. government subsidizing a tool that's built to help market? That's exactly what it's there for. And it's been an eternity since we had an environment like this. 2012 and 13 was pretty much the last 2 years that you had a spring and a harvest price anywhere near the same levels.
Yeah, right, right. And Jared, you know, when it comes to profit potential, I mean, a guest earlier this week described it as this could potentially be the once in a lifetime opportunity when it comes to profit potential if we manage the risk as it needs to be managed. So, yeah, it's a heady time. It's a heady time. There's no question about it. Okay, what does the conversation sound like when you pick up the phone, Jared, and the client's on the other end, and you're getting into this risk management conversation? That's what I want to hear from you next.
AGI SureTrack's Bin Manager is the industry's leading grain bin management solution, supported by the only platform on the market to connect data points from across your operation. Soil, weather, machine, agronomic, equipment, and grain characteristic data combine to deliver a data story that drives profit and production. Mobile or desktop, stay informed, stay safe, and stay connected with AGI SureTrack. For more information, visit www.agisuretrack.com.
Time now for headlines ripped from Pro Farmers. First thing today, ANEC expects a slowdown in Brazilian soybean exports this month. China's producer price index added 9% in May, the biggest year-on-year increase since September 2008. The World Bank upgraded its outlook for global growth this year. Available jobs climbed to 9.3 million in April. That's the highest in records going back to the year 2000. President Joe Biden personally ended infrastructure talks with Capito and starts new talks with others. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack distanced himself from litigation over line speeds at swine slaughter plants. And the Senate on Tuesday approved a bill boosting government spending on technology research and development amid rising competition from China. Pro Farmer members were equipped with these stories and much more before the markets opened this morning. Go to tryprofarmer.com.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Davis, I'm going to have to ask you to put the air guitar down and get ready for the recap.
Not going to do it, brother. Not going to do it. I'm going to keep... Oh, wait, he faded it out. Okay, now I will.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. That's Davis. We are talking with Jared Creed from JC Marketing. But before we get back to that, let's go.
All right, I'll do it.
Come on, Creed.
I'll do it.
Come on, Creed.
July hard red winter wheat, 3.25 cents higher, 635 3/4. September spring wheat closed at 769 3/4. That's down 6.25 cents today. July corn futures, 10 3/4 cents higher at 690 3/4. December corn closed at 609 3/4, up 0.25 cents. July soybean futures, 14.5 cents lower, 1562.5. November bean futures closed at 1448 1/4, down 8 3/4 cents. December cotton gained 135 points to 87.34. August live cattle were 45 cents higher, 118.27 and one half. August feeders down 97 and one half cents to 148.27 and one half. And July lean hogs, 30 cents lower, 121.50. There's your quick market recap. Now back to you, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave. It's Jared Creed, JC Marketing. Jared, I'm looking at my notes. Looking at my notes during the break, and I can't help it. I've got to ask you, react to what Bubba said. And when he said, when he said beans could get out of the teens, and I don't mean to the downside.
Anything's possible. Anything is possible. Are the odds stacked to that happen? Well, no. Are records meant to be broken, that old saying? Well, sure. Yeah. And when it relates back to the farmer, it still comes down to how you go about managing your price risk.
Yep.
And I think you had an advertisement on for another firm, if I caught it right at the beginning, that leaving yourself some flexibility. And in the environment that we are in, it's not like we're in a razor thin 20 cent a bushel or 50 cent a bushel profit margin environment in corn and beans. Right. I think you got to look at the big picture of the dollars and dollars and dollars that you're trying to cover to the downside while identifying the what if. Are you gonna hit the top? No. Are you gonna hit the top if you wait on everything? Still probably not. But there's still ways of going out there. And options are expensive right now. I get it. But, to his point there, I do think back to a farmer level, something to remember is your federal crop insurance can only double in price for coverage. So in the event that something catastrophic would happen, and we did see monumental new record prices, you're going to want some of that coverage in place. You're going to want to put a little bit of money at risk and understand the mechanics between covering your downside with a long type of option strategy in your back pocket. But then you still got to manage that position. You still got to understand what your position is in the market and your financial exposure each day as the market changes. And obviously we've seen some extreme moves in the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
Now the one thing to his comment that I would have a little bit of caution on is we really haven't talked much about the long-term implications on the need for soybeans out of the U.S. with the continued expansion of area and growth in Brazil. If world demand wants to keep up with that, that's completely different. But I mean, you're talking about a potential crop size, early estimates out of Brazil next year to be close to a billion bushel more than what they were raising 3 years ago.
Yeah.
So somebody's going to grow it, and counting on something to happen in both the U.S. and South America 6 months from now, maybe I have a little bit of a hard time thinking on that.
Yeah. You know, I respect what that means for the price outlook and the profit potential going forward, Jared. But I feel like the change that we've had in attitude at the consumer level to bio and renewable diesel has taken some of the risk out of that. I don't know. Well, no, I've said it on the show before, so I'll say it again. It kind of feels like biodiesel is at the point that ethanol was at when RFS2 was signed back in 07-08. That has taken some of the risk out of it, hasn't it?
I think you're right on that, and I won't lie here. Every little piece that I know about the biodiesel market comes from Pete.
Okay.
So if you want to have a detailed conversation on biodiesel, you better call Pete and get him on the show again.
Yeah. And that's a great idea. I should do that. I should absolutely do that. I'm sure that he can speak to the differences between the, because every time I say biodiesel, somebody's going to text me and say, you got to include renewable on that. It's not just biodiesel. It's biodiesel and renewable diesel that are making the big difference. And it's a difference in the process, but California is all about the renewable diesel. So You're right. Should get them on and talk about it. Anything in the supply and demand report that you're thinking could be worth our time tomorrow morning?
Well, I suppose the only thing would be the big ticket items would be a potential change to Brazilian corn crop size. It seems like that's been a little slow rolled versus the estimates that are out there. Personally, I think we've had a very tough time understanding what the total crop area is in Brazil with their rapid expansion. And I think that happened in this last year's bean crop as well. Domestically, I guess you can make a case that you could see exports and ethanol combined to go up 50 million bushel. Maybe you only get a move in one of them. And I just don't see how they're going to do much with the bean balance sheet at this point in time, because they're going to have their work cut out for them in the July WASD based upon what our bean acre number is in the end of June. I don't know. It's like you're in a rock and a hard place to get to an ending stock number that's still above pipeline. And I think the what if is, you know, what if those acres that we received in March are not a heck of a lot different than what we see on the June report? You know, life gets pretty interesting on a bean balance sheet very, very quickly.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. And I know.
Tomorrow should, knock on wood, with the exception of South America, I think tomorrow is a pretty quiet event.
Okay. Now, the talk or your comments about acres makes me think that you've at least given some thought to what you might want to do with 22 crop at this point.
Yeah, it has. Some of the 22 conversations have came around. I've been basically unwilling to do much on corn in 22, which has created an environment to continue to take more money off the table in 21. Because of that fear of, you know, buying $5 to $6 inputs and ending up in a $4 corn market. Meanwhile, I do think that some producers that pushed the corn on corn envelope this year or total corn area a little bit higher, perhaps there's some profitable opportunities trying to sell some $13, you know, $12.50 to $13.50 cash beans for next year. Gives an individual a little bit of a backstop. Obviously, beans are not quite as cost sensitive as corn. I'd say, I hate to go back to crop insurance, but almost the 22 best marketing tool right now is for producers to get with their crop insurance agent and talk about margin protection for next year. That could be a very, very handy tool to have in your back pocket.
Okay. If you're going to do anything on 22, I mean, anything, you got to be taking a look at booking inputs as much as you can, right?
Yeah, I had a couple of producers, Western Iowa, here this morning tell me that they think they can get anhydrous booked for something with a 6 in front of it. Historically, anytime we're buying anhydrous, just kind of identifying, well, how many dollars am I actually spending there and trying to sell the equivalent dollars of corn if that, you know, margin between the two of them is historically to their advantage. And I would say that these 22, if you probably gave us a chance to sell some 530 to 550 cash corn out there, the average client I work with would actually probably be looking at a decent little return. Problem is, I think our average Iowa, for example, earlier this week, I think our average Iowa cost production across all clients snuck above $760 an acre for a corn crop. And I don't see any reason that that might not be closer to $1,000 than $900 right. for next year. So
yeah,
it's kind of a tough environment to just be banking on yield 18 months out and try to buy all the inputs and looking at getting back to almost a razor thin margin. In hindsight, it might be a great deal just to start selling corn now. Who knows?
Yeah. You know, I've been of the opinion that the opportunity for a profit is going to be around into the 22 crop year, maybe even the 23 crop year. But these dadgum input costs are shortening up that timeline, it feels like. So just be aware of that and make sure that that you're managing everything as it needs to be managed. Great conversation, man. I'm sure I'll be thinking about it later tonight. I might have to text you with a thing or two.
You bet. Thanks for
all right, Jared. You bet. Thanks, man. That is Jared Creed, JC Marketing. Again, as we talked about, it's not just a selling strategy. It is a risk management strategy. And the idea that when you get that revenue protection, really what you're doing is you're getting a guaranteed number of bushels that needs to be managed, and you've got price risk from here down to the spring price. Something to really think about. All right, Davis and I will be back to wrap things up here in a moment.
On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. We are cooking up a pork week.
Yeah.
Here on AgriTalk.
Yes.
Let's talk about the hog market just a little
bit. Okay.
Let me check my notes here. I got July lean hogs off 30 cents on the day at 121.50. Mm-hmm. But cash market seems on pretty solid footing right now.
Sure.
Wholesale pork markets continues to work toward all-time highs. Mm-hmm. You know, not huge moves in either of those markets, but still seems like a pretty decent setup, at least in the near term.
Well, I think what the setup in the pork cutout market and in the cash hog market is telling us is that demand for pork is still really good. We've talked about it a couple of times, that it's not just export demand. Everybody wants to go straight to the export picture, and it is supportive. It is supportive. But stay home and look at the domestic side of that, of the demand base that we've got. And it's easy to be impressed with the amount of domestic demand that we've got for pork right now. And it just feels like it feels like that puts a floor under this market for right now, Davis.
For the longest frickin' time, we were hearing, we didn't know what to believe, what not to believe, what to dismiss, what to take to heart, all kinds of stuff coming out about ASF in China when you're talking about that export market. Mm-hmm. And that sort of held our focus on the export market. Well, you know, traders will be looking to Thursday's export sales report type of stuff.
Yep.
I haven't heard a whole lot about ASF. Do you know what's up with that right now?
Here's what I don't like about what I see coming out of China, and that is their pork production and slaughter numbers. Slaughter numbers have shot through the roof. Mm-hmm. Their production numbers are up, not as much as slaughter. So lighter weight animals are being slaughtered.
I got you.
What that tells me is that they've got an outbreak again, and they are trying to get it under control. But if it gets in your barn, the first thing you do is call the truck. Doesn't matter if they're 50 or 250 or 350.
Right.
The first thing you do is call the truck, and you get them out of there and get them someplace where you can get a dollar bill for them or a yon for it.
Part of what's confirming that, too, is the domestic cash market in China.
Just crashed.
Yep.
It's just absolutely fallen apart. And it hasn't. It's kind of been a slow motion crash too. It's not like it's just happened overnight. It's been a developing issue in China, watching that slaughter ramp up and the price come down. It just makes me think that they've got a real problem going on again. And we'll see. We'll see. Now, that's not all good, because as they rebuild that herd, it takes time again, and it takes time to get their feed consumption back up, their feed demand back up.
Yep.
So this may be a problem going forward on the for corn and soybean side of things. I don't know.
Keep on it.
Okay. Another supply side issue that I want to mention was the conversation that we had this morning with Dr. Brandy, I'll get it here in just a second. Dr. Brandy Burton. When I asked her to grade the industry on how we're doing in controlling PERS, and she raised some concern about it. And then in the farmer forum that we had with Terry Walters and Jen Sorensen, they both commented on PERS and how it is a significant challenge, and it's off season. This is the time of the year that it should not be a serious problem. It's a fall and winter problem, but it's still in that sow herd. And it makes me wonder about the efficiency of the pig. It makes me wonder about just how many pigs we're going to have available later this year. I mean, our expansion plans kind of got squashed earlier.
Yes.
And I made the comment the other day about, boy, with these markets, I got to wonder if we're not seeing some expansion plans come back into this, into the industry. I think I may have made that comment yesterday. A very astute listener got back at me on Twitter and said, yeah, but what about construction costs? Great point. Great point. That construction cost issue may be enough to limit expansion plans, at least for now. At least for now.
Yeah.
So that's
the elephant in the room. I want your thoughts on this. Bubba mentioned it. Well, he sort of mentioned it. Creed said anything is possible in reference to it. I'm just gonna say the words, because let's stop tiptoeing around it. $20 beans. Isn't that what we're really talking about here?
Yeah.
So if feed demand to China, because all the hogs have got the flu, does that cut the legs right out of
the fever?
Does that cut the legs right out of that potentiality? No matter how slim that potential may be, we're not predicting that, and I don't think either one of those guys necessarily predicted that. They're talking potential.
The big part of the reason that is there is because of the super tight supplies that we've got right now. I've mentioned the basis has fallen apart on us in some areas. Well, I'm thinking more and more that the reason basis has fallen apart is because the crushers have just decided, why bid for something that isn't there? So they'll come back and raise the bid later, or make somebody feel good about doing a push on basis to get some things to move. So it's the ultra-tight supplies combined with the weather conditions that we've got out there. And eventually we're going to get to the point where you got to wonder who's going to sell this thing. Well, if there's nobody to sell it, then I understand exactly where Bubba is coming from. Still kind of makes me cringe to talk about things like that.
But telling me there's a chance.
But I get what he's saying. I get what he's saying. All right. Hey, Davis and producer Big Apple Joe Stackler, thank you so much for listening today. You got to come back, have a conversation with us tomorrow morning. We've got Dr. Paul Sundberg and Joe Sheely.